God's love is not just cute and fluffy. Sometimes it can feel that way, but a lot of times God's love is uncomfortable because the way that he showed his love to us was uncomfortable. Because when we pay attention to the discomfort of others, we are living out God's love. And because discomfort is actually a sign of the call of God in our lives. Let me start with this. I was uncomfortable on this trip, specifically one time, and I got made fun of for it, Finn. Every evening at Chick, we get to experience a concert, and there was this really awesome rapper named Annie Minio, am I saying right? Phenomenal guy, but they load in, you know, all of this equipment, including the subwoofer. Do you think there are like 45 that were just, okay, your organs rattled, and all the kids are like, woo, and I'm like sitting there like, I was so uncomfortable. And after the concert, you can go and buy his merchandise, whatever, and he gives you this bag. Now, thank you, Canyon, for purchasing that shirt so that you could receive this bag. Oh, did this speak of my experience at his concert? I was so uncomfortable. There's even a video. You can ask Finn for it later. I was not a happy camper. I realized the discomfort. It was rattling in my soul, and it got me thinking, as I listened to the experience of students this last week, that discomfort is okay, and discomfort is a sign of God's call. God's ultimate act of love, it came to us by way of discomfort. Would you read with me again, because we always need a good reminder. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Hear this for what sticks out again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The incarnation, Jesus coming to earth, was not comfortable. God squeezing into the form of an infant, being squeezed out of a human being, is not comfortable. Love made perfect in the incarnation. Caring for your elderly parents is not comfortable. It's comforting. Giving birth to a child, it is not comfortable. It's comforting. It is love. Walking with students who are asking questions about their life mattering, whether it's worth it to keep living, not comfortable. Comforting. Standing with those across the world who are victims of human trafficking, of mass incarceration, of refugees. Hearing their stories, it's not comfortable, but it's a response of comforting. God's ultimate act of love came by way of extreme discomfort, and so the love of God is uncomfortable. Our students learned this. They got off the plane, they were hit by the humidity, and they thought, what in the blue moon are we doing, right? Just a little, be honest, right? And they began to embark on a journey. The journey looked like this. Every morning, they would wake up, some early enough to get breakfast, others late. And, boys. Anyway, they would wake up late or early or whatever, and then we would take about a mile walk in the humidity and the heat to base camps, which is like breakout sessions. And we would invest in learning about four of the five mission priorities of the Covenant Church. There are five of them. Let me see if I can get them. Start and strengthen churches, which we didn't specifically learn about because all of them strengthen the church, right? Make and deepen disciples. I can do this. Love mercy, do justice. Serve globally and develop leaders. They're so good. You should be proud, because I really am. And so we set out 4 mornings of the week. We set out to learn about those things. In develop leaders, we learned about our own personalities. There are 4 colors of your personality, blue and green and gold and orange. You're going to hear about that in a little bit. And we learned about the God-given gifts that we have that we can then offer the world, specifically our church, when we live into our best life. So we learned how we are developed by God and then how we can develop our gifts to serve the world. That was develop leaders. Then we spent time in the Love, Mercy, Do Justice base camp, and we talked about immigration, we talked about poverty, we talked about mass incarceration. 3 things, incredibly uncomfortable. And I was walking back from that base camp with Grace, and she was sharing with me, like, I am so bleh about all of this. I don't know what my response is supposed to be about all of this because it just seems so heavy. I can't carry this. This is too much. I was like, yeah, you're right. Pay attention to that, right? We had those conversations. 3rd day, we spent time in the Serve Globally base camp. We experienced what's called a refugee walk, and it was jarring. It was incredibly uncomfortable. It was painful. I was linked up with Jillian. I was supposed to be her daughter. We were given these identities. Jillian was my mom. I was her daughter. And in this experience, you were given a task. So we were supposed to go work in the field. We were South Sudanese refugees. And so we were supposed to go work in the field, which is set up in this huge conference space. There's dirt and everything. We're walking over there. And all of a sudden, sirens are blaring. And Jillian is supposed to be in charge of me, and I am supposed to be 4 years old, and sirens are blaring, and they're telling us, run, run, get in a tent, go, go. They're moving us along, and I burst into tears, and Jillian, I was like, Jillian, don't let me go. The experience was so raw and real, I'm crying, and they sent us, oh, you have to go to this tent, and you have to go to this tent, and Jillian and I got, and she and I got separated. And I was no longer with this family that I was supposed to be with. And in that tent, along with all these other people who had been separated by their families, we heard the story of a man who was a Sudanese refugee. And the video showed how he was separated from his brothers, did not see them for years, and how they had to work so hard to come back together. And in that room, I heard from a number of other students, Alyssa and others, their hearts ached. And there along the walls of the tent was scripture about the immigrant and the foreigner and how we are called to draw them in because of the love of God that comforts but is not comfortable. And we were stirred up. And kids had a hard time after that experience really settling down, being calm and comfortable. They couldn't. And then we go into another experience. It was called Our World, and it brought up a number of things of injustices in our world that countries deal with that sometimes we don't even understand. There they talked about human trafficking, and they put kids and leaders into a shipping container and explained what happens when people are sold as slaves. and the pain that they go through in this small cell that they stay in, what, 3 to 60 days? Is that correct? 3 to 60 days. Their hearts broke. Another student entered into a learning experience about healthcare access and learned how terrible healthcare is around the world. Their heart broke. A couple other students learning about water and education, and their hearts broke. Paying attention to the discomfort of others is participation in the love of God. And our students heard stories again and again and again of the discomfort of Christians and non-Christians all around the world. And they participated in the love of God by letting their hearts be broken by the things that break God's heart. Grace wants to tell you about her experience, and I need you to hear it. Let's invite Grace forward.
Good morning. I was sick the whole week we were in Tennessee, so I'm going to need you to bear with me on my voice here, and it's hard to have a fever in Tennessee in the middle of summer. my name is Grace Paulette, and I'm a junior at Mount Vernon High School. I'm the daughter of Chris and Greta Paulette. I was born and raised in a Christian home with two married parents providing for our family of five, and Bethany's been my home church my whole life. Being born into such a structurally sound life, it can be hard to imagine difficulty in honestly saying that I haven't had my slip-ups in my faith. As we try to stay afloat in society's distorted standards and clouded views for my generation today, this week we discovered what was most important to us. We really dug deep for almost a week, picking apart texts and discussing pressing and heavy-hearted topics such as human trafficking, the refugee crisis, and poverty, among other things. Not to make them more complicated, but to comprehend what our story and our mission means to the kingdom of God. The discomfort that our group continually felt was a reminder that as Christians, we are supposed to and we are allowed to feel uncomfortable. It means our hearts are breaking for what breaks God's heart, and it means we're willing to work hard to deepen our relationship with God. One of the activities that we participated in was discovering our personalities and how they apply to our mission. There were 4 colors. There was green, gold, blue, and orange. Each color came with a specific set of strengths and weaknesses, and we were to determine in which category we resided with the given attributes. Greens took charge but could come off as demanding and argumentative. Golds were hard workers but could be inflexible or hard to please. Blues feel for you, but in doing so, they can be indecisive and compromise their own happiness. While us oranges, we will find a way to get in your face and be your friend, usually having to do with humor or finding common ground. But we're impatient and we're inconsistent. And our youth group found that it was uncomfortable to unveil your weaknesses, unlike the ease of embracing your strengths. After speaking with a group of girls that I met according to my color, we found that despite our outward bubbliness, the majority of us were struggling with mental health issues. And if it weren't for that discomfort in confiding in complete strangers, we wouldn't have found that we are just like one another, thus providing a safe space and creating unity, which was the theme of CHIC. I cried during the first service at this part, and I can already tell I'm going to again. One of the nights that I felt guilty and uncomfortable was when a boy that I met at the main arena revealed what his life looked like to me on our walk back to the dorms. I didn't know how to respond to someone who no longer has parents because his mother died when he was a little boy, and his father both verbally and physically abused him. Yet he cared enough to both hold my hand when I was struggling and hug not only me, but the Bethany girls can testify that he hugged the people surrounding him who didn't know his story or his background when he needed to be reassured and cared for the most. And I've never seen such a kind heart and a beautiful soul so quickly and come with such ease. Through these thought-provoking and honestly quite blunt and convicting conversations about hard topics that can be so easy for us to overlook, I, among others, learned things about myself that I've never seen before. As my faith was reaffirmed, I was given the privilege to watch my peers develop a sense of love and a deeper relationship with God. And from now on, as I recall Megan Fate Marshman preach, We will no longer run to find a purpose. We will run because we already have one. So on behalf of the Bethany Covenant Student Ministry, we thank you for your prayers and your support as we discovered our role in fulfilling God's will.
Paying attention to the discomfort of others is participation in the love of God. And finally, this discomfort does not cause us to fear. It is evidence of the call. We had some students this week who felt discomfort. And every time they got a little closer to Jesus, they felt more and more uncomfortable. Second to last night, I got to sit with two students who said, "I don't even know where to start. God's doing something, but I don't even know what this is." And I said, "Have you given your life to Jesus?" And I got to tell you, that's an uncomfortable question for me to ask. And I know I'm a pastor, but I always feel weird asking that question because I don't want them to think I'm judging or to think that they don't have a relationship with Jesus. But I felt this pressing by the Spirit, and it was really uncomfortable in me. And so I finally was like, "Fine, okay, I'll ask the question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus?" And these two students, they said, "Let's do this." Whew. And so they're in this cinder block dorm room on compostable sheets. We'll tell you that story later. Two students gave their lives to Jesus. And they said, "I don't know what this is about. I don't know how this works. This feels incredibly uncomfortable to me." And I was like, "Hey, good, friends, because I don't know how this works. This is incredibly uncomfortable for me, but we're going to go together. We are going to go together." The discomfort is not a cause for fear, but the discomfort is evidence of the call in our life. Even more than those commitments to Jesus, we had a student who felt so uncomfortable by the call of God that he resisted it for a long time. And you need to hear from Luke Hedberg. Would you come forward and would you share your story?
Hi, I'm Luke.
Hi, Luke.
I went to Chick. Chick was sick. And it was super transformational. This week at Chick, I felt God's invitation to go deeper with him in faith. This was an answer to prayer because prior to Chick, my father and I had prayed and asked God to help me to grow deeper in a relationship with him and to be present with him at Chick. On Sunday night, the pastor, he talked about stepping up in our faith and being a man in our faith, or a woman, you know, and just answering God's call. And this really challenged me and got me thinking. Because for the entirety of my life, I felt nudges and pushes towards God at youth group and at camp and at church. The next night, after I got in trouble for throwing water balloons at people, Britta and I had a conversation. And I thought this conversation was just going to be, "Luke, don't throw water balloons at people." But it turned into an hour and a half of me crying. But I explained to Britta how I had felt this calling. And I felt so convicted by the speaker. Saying this conviction out loud for the first time was really hard for me because I've always thought of a different path despite God's persistent pursuit. Accepting the call means giving up a comfortable life. It means giving up worldly security. And it means putting my faith in Jesus and trusting him to give me all the security I need. The call is uncomfortable for me because I've seen it firsthand through my father and his walk in ministry. The call makes me fearful because I'm putting all my faith in God. And that's hard for a 17-year-old kid to do. The call is hard because it means going on a different path than my friends might go on and leaving all that behind. The call is scary because I don't understand why God wants me. The uncomfortable call is worth it to me because it's what I'm called to do as a son of God. Jesus calls on us to put our faith in him. And when we do, he promises to stand with us through the deepest canyons and the highest mountains. I have accepted the uncomfortable call from God to ministry because the uncomfortable call is my calling as a son of God. Thank you.
That's the best. I have the best job in the world. This discomfort doesn't cause us to fear. This discomfort is evidence of the call. You heard from Grace that some of our students got to understand more about themselves and the Develop Leaders Base Camp, and they once they discovered their color, they were given a charge. How can you use your gifts in your home, in your school, and in your church? And the leaders of those base camps said, take the one from church. The home and the school, they go in your back pocket. But take the one from church and hand it to your youth pastor. And so there, after that base camp, here I am flooded with all of these commitments, these calls to the church, and how these students and other students are going to use their gifts to benefit, to bless, to move the mission of God forward. May I read some of my favorites? Share my story even when I'm uncomfortable. Step out of my comfort zone more so that I can form stronger relationships, solve systemic issues, and be appointed as leaders. Friends, these are high school students who have been moved by the power of God to change the world. And it is uncomfortable. And it is painful. And it does not feel good. But when you're doing what's right, you can't help but talk about it. One last thing. We spent some time listening to a woman who was a Syrian refugee. And she told her story about when she was taken from her home and she was separated from her 2-year-old son. And she talked about the pain of not knowing where her son was for years. 15 years after she was separated from her son, they were reunited. And she recognized the pain and the extreme discomfort it was and is being a refugee, and the pain that it inflicted on her son and the community, her community. And so she began a ministry for refugees. And she has been at this work for many, many, many years, providing resources and listening and caring for them, making connections so that these refugees would not feel or be alone. She asked the question, because of my pain, what can I do for others? And she shared with us at the end of our time, and she asked this question, or she said this, somebody asked her a question, what are you really trying to do? Because there's no way. Have you seen how many refugees there are? There's no way. You're not going to be able to solve the problem. They're not going to know why you're doing this. Why in the world would you even work at this? Because it's going to be too much. And her answer was this, I know. But I am going to love them until they ask why. I'm going to love them until they ask why. She has stepped into the discomfort and done something because she was compelled by the love of God. And maybe people will ask why. We practiced while we were at CHIC what these students would say when someone, their parents, their grandparents, Joe Schmo off the street, hey, how was CHIC? And they're not going to say, okay, thank you. Yeah. Each of them have practiced saying what actually happened in their life. Each of them knows, even if it's not clear, what they can say about their experience, because you want to know what? That's gospel. That's preaching the gospel right there. What you heard from Grace and Luke preaching the gospel right there. They have words to share. And even if it's an uncomfortable conversation, it is the love of God flowing out of them. It's our prayer that we've been faithful to our experience. It's our prayer that we've been faithful to the God who's been faithful to us. And it's our prayer that we would move because the Spirit is moving us in the love of God.